Mr. Clarkson, reel one.
And you were born in 1890?
Yes, I was born in 1898, the 24th of October, and joined the Navy as a tradesman. I had to be 18, so I'd put my age on 2 years, so the actual naval date of my birth was 1896.
Right. Can I come back to that? Keep that for a minute. Keep that one there and just go back a little bit. You were born in where?
Tipperary, in Ireland.
Yes.
In Clonmel. My father was a serving soldier then, actually in the Army Pay Corps, and my mother, she was Irish.
And father was actually serving in the army. He wasn't retired, he was still serving.
Oh no, he was serving in the army. We moved from there to Aldershot. Dorchester first. From Dorchester, we moved to York. From York to Belfast. Belfast to Hollywood. From Hollywood to Aldershot. And my mother died when I was 9 years old. I left seven of us. My father had to leave the army then a couple of years before his normal time for pension. And that was about the time of the Depression. I believe
1910, 1911, perhaps.
Yes.
That would be right.
So everybody was out of work, and we were in a very, very bad state. And that was we did know what it was to wake up in the morning and have nothing to eat all day at times, and sit with the sun coming through the window on our feet to warm them, not having any fuel. And that was the time when I decided, what'd it be, 9, 10, then I decided if ever I had a job, that it would be one where there was a pension attached to it, to keep me off the, out of the workhouse. And so, at the age of 16, that was when the war broke out.
Yes.
I decided to join the Navy. Going back, at the age of 12, my father had married again then, and he'd married somebody who didn't have very much time for his children.
Did she have her own children? Did she have children?
She had no children of her own, but she was always telling us what would happen if she did. If she had a child, that would take preference over us. Anyhow, we had a very unhappy time with them.
What sort of ways, actually? What sort of ways? There were seven of you.
There were seven of us,
seven of you. And you were what? The oldest, the middle?
No, I was the middle one.
Exactly the middle one.
Yes, the oldest was 13, and the youngest, I should think, was nearly a baby. Uh-huh. And what happened was when we were in this very bad state, my elder sister was taken away and put in service. The two girls were put in a convent. Two boys in Treelaw Hospital. And it left then the eldest of the boys, two of us, my brother and I. And we used to look after father and do the cooking and all that sort of thing. And then when he was married again, we moved to Aldershot, and times weren't very good to us. She was really cruel to us.
Yes. What sort of thing? I mean, do you remember it as her being cruel? I mean, do you remember?
Oh yes.
As a cruel person?
I'll give you an instance. My father was always—he was quick-tempered in a way, but he was kind, if you can understand. And if we'd done anything wrong, he used to say, "Bread and water for you tomorrow," something like that. Of course, he didn't. He never meant it, and 5 minutes after, he'd been making a fuss of us. Well, he hadn't been... When he was married first, we moved to Aldershot, and straight away, going into a new house, his wife started off, John and I, my brother, scrubbing paintwork, digging the garden. We never had a minute to ourselves. And we were both going to school, by the way. And I think they'd been married about a week. We'd been living there about a week. And we used to go down to the Basingstoke Canal swimming. And she gave us a towel each. We had to be back by 8 o'clock. We went down, and of course all the kids that we'd been used to had never seen anything like a clean towel before. And of course they pinched the towels, both of them. We stayed behind to look for them, and we were about an hour late, eventually arriving back minus her towels. And she was waiting at the gate with us, with my father, and he was naturally annoyed, and he said, "Put them on bread and water tomorrow." And the next day, she done that. Then father was then, he was the chief clerk at the RE's establishment at Aldershot, and that was down Stanhope Lines, 2 mile walk, I suppose. But at dinner time, first of all in the morning, after he'd gone to work, we were issued with a cup of water and a slice of dry bread each. When it came round to dinner, I had to carry father's dinner these 2 miles with a custard pie in one hand and a raspberry pie with custard, and then the other hand roast beef, potatoes and everything. And when I arrived back, I was again given a slice of bread and a cup of water. And so was Jack, my brother. Anyhow, I was really frightened to do anything about it, but Jack wasn't. He was 2 years older than me. He'd be 13 or 14, I suppose, then. And so after having consumed the slice of bread, he started to go upstairs. And she grabbed hold of him and said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm going to bed." He said, "I can't work on dry bread." And she went to pull him back. She hit him, as a matter of fact, with a small brush. And Jack pushed her out of the way. He said, "I'm going to report you to the Inspector of Cruelty to Children." And she let him go. She got a bit frightened, I suppose. Jack went up and went to bed. I carried on being a bit frightened, and I carried on cleaning paintwork, doing the odd jobs. Of course, when Father came home at tea time, she could put her report in, and I was at once brought back to ordinary diet, and John, he was still kept on bread and water then. And after that, they used to have butter. We had margarine. Anything that was good that was going, that wasn't for us. It was for them too. And everything, she worshipped my father. She'd do everything for him, but she seemed to have a hatred of us. Now, my sister, by the way, she finished up as a hospital matron, which he used to come home. And my stepmother was frightened of her when she was 15. And she used to say, "If you lay a hand on any of them, I'll tear your eyes out." And she would have done too. And she just sort of kept the balance a little way. And she used to say to us, if she attempts to hit you or do anything that you don't think that she deserves, you tell me. Anyhow, by that time, I was at school, at Newport Road School at Aldershot. And I would be 12 then, and I was the top boy of the school in marks. And the head, of course, they had these firms, they didn't have any accountants then, and our headmaster said that I was in for a scholarship for Farnham Grammar School. And I was highly delighted. I liked school. I liked to get away from the home. In any case, I was always interested in study. And when I went home and told him that I was in for this scholarship, I would be pretty sure of it, going to Farnham Grammar School. He said, "Oh, no, you don't. We've got a job for you. You're going to bring some money in. Errand boy at the international stores at Aldershot. 5 shillings a week." And so I told the headmaster that, and he said, "That's not for you." He said, "But in any case," he said, "you can't leave school. Oh, I had to go in for the labour exam. By the way, I've found the paper the other day to say I'd passed it." And this labour exam enabled you to leave school at the age of 12, as the education authorities had decided that you'd learnt all you could, without going to a grammar school, of course. And he said, "You can't leave till you get a job." But he said, "Would you like to be a joiner?" And I said, "Yes." That was, in those days, to be a tradesman, and was a bit of a lift. And he used to do all the accounts for a building firm at Aldershot, at Edgecuses, and he sent me up there with a note. And after a few weeks, they wrote to me and told me I could start there. And so I went there. I was there 18 months. And then again, my stepmother stepped in. I used to have to walk. We lived at Ash then. And it was, 3 miles, I suppose, from where I was working in Aldershot. And she'd bought me a brand new pair of hobnail boots. A couple of sizes too small for me. And I used to have to be at work at 6. So I had to get up at 4. And it used to take me half an hour to struggle into these boots. And I told her they were crucifying me, but she said, "You'll wear them." And the result was, I used to walk to work these 3 miles, work till 5:30 at night, and then walk back. And I used to take these shoes off and walk in my socks, and then put them on just before I got indoors. Because I used to get a cuff around the ear and say that I was putting it on and there was nothing wrong with them and that sort of thing. And here one day the boss's wife said to me, "Is there anything wrong with your feet, George?" Because I was hobbling a bit, I suppose. And I said, "No." So she said, "Take your shoes off." So these hobnail boots, I took them off. And these stockings that I wore, the ribs of them were planted right in into the skin. So she said, "Now, go home and tell your father that he's not to send you back until he's got a bigger pair of shoes for you." So I went home and she created hell, and she G'd father up. And she said, "You're not learning out of the bill. I've been up there 18 months. You're not learning anything there, and take you away from there." He was annoyed to think that I'd been sent home. So I didn't go back.
Gosh.
And then I had to look for a job. You'd be surprised at the job I had. I went up and found a pimp merchant in the village. If you know what that is.
Tell me.
Those bundles of wood. No little bundles of wood that you light the fire with. And so I went there, and he was quite a crude sort of a fellow. And I remember he had a wife and a baby. He had an old mare, and he had a dog cart. And every morning he used to go up there at 6 o'clock, drive out in the country, and he used to buy up branches of trees and all that had been cut up. We used to take them back, saw them up into lengths 9 inches long, and then all by hand, of course, no machinery, and then chop them up into sticks, put them into this little machine of his, tie them up and into bundles. And then I was the traveller. I had to go out and go around all the shops, Farnborough, Frimley, Aldershot, with this old mare and dog cart.
Cool.
And then go in the shops and could you do with some pimps, so much a dozen? And I was to get all the orders, come back again, fill the dog cart up, and go out and deliver them. And then at other times, I was to have to look after the baby while they went out. Anyway, something happened there, and my father went up and had a row with him, and had to pack that in. I was out of work again. And then I heard that the boy in the village blacksmith had joined the army.
This would be getting up to about 1914, would it be now?
Yeah, before 1913. Yeah, about 1913, that would be. And so I went down there and got the job there. It was a very good job, hard work.
Blacksmith's boy, this was.
Yes, five bob a week. And it was blacksmithing, wheelwrighting, and painting. It was a Canadian that owned this affair. He was a good blacksmith, he was a good painter. And apart from me, they had an old blacksmith of 75, I think he was.